So we want to look back at Matthew 26, and the message this morning, I'm just going to take from verses 40 and 41. We read, starting with verse 36 down to verse 46, but verses 40 and 41 are what I want to specifically look at. And of course, as you remember what we read there, this is in just really the final day or so of the Lord Jesus' earthly ministry and life here, and he was about to fulfill the greatest part of his ministry, and that is to shed his blood on the cross for us, of course, to be buried for 3 days and then to rise again in victory over death and hell. And we have salvation because of that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he paid for our sin with his shed blood on the cross. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a wonderful ministry Jesus fulfilled just shortly after what we read here. But as you can imagine, he was in a great state of grief. And I'm sure that some of it was the death of the cross. It must have been. What a horrible, gruesome death that was. And it's really one of the more cruel deaths that can be imposed on a person is crucifixion. And especially the torture that they put Jesus through even before the crucifixion. And then the crucifixion itself is really torture. It's nothing less than that. But I don't believe it was really mostly the crucifixion that Jesus was so agonized about. I believe it was because of what he would go through when he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friends, I want you to understand there is not a person here who knows what that feeling is like that caused Jesus to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can go even to the most outspoken atheist and God-hater that you can think of in this world. They have not experienced what Jesus went through right there that caused him to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because even for the most God-hating atheist that you can think of, there's hope as they're still alive. That if they will repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can be saved and that they're not completely abandoned yet while they're still breathing. There's still an opportunity. And yet Jesus became sin for us and God punished Jesus. He suffered the wrath of Almighty God for you and for me. And I believe that that's really what was agonizing him so greatly in this Garden of Gethsemane. And as he went there, he knew that it was approaching. He knew the hour had come that he must suffer for the sins of the world, not just mine, not just yours, but the sins of the whole world, as 1 John 2:2 tells us. And look at verse 40, if you would, with me. And he cometh, after he had began praying, right? And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Think about that now. Their Lord and Master, the one that they had declared faithfulness to and loyalty to, is agonizing. I mean, he's going through something that he's never gone through before. No one has ever gone through before. And he's agonizing over that. And he comes back and finds his disciples not just oblivious, but asleep, resting their flesh. He finds them asleep. And saith unto Peter, and listen to this question, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And then he tells him, watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. And by the way, Peter's spirit was willing, wasn't it? But the flesh is weak. The title of the message this morning is, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? The idea of the message this morning that the Lord laid on my heart is we need to be people who spend time with God. And I want to begin by asking this question, not in a condemning way, and I don't want you to answer it out loud. I just want you to answer it in your heart between you and God. How much time do you spend on a daily basis with God? And if I were to give you a piece of paper and a pen and say to you, write down in the last week what God has shown you in your time with him in this last week, could you write anything down? Would Jesus say to us, what, Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus, in all that he does and ministers in heaven, obviously he's interceding for us at the Father's right hand. We understand that from Scripture. And he, of course, in the Spirit of Christ lives within us. What a wonderful blessing we have. And all that he does in this world, would he come to us and would he say to us or would he find us asleep? Wouldn't that be a tragedy if that was the case? In all that he goes through, does he find us asleep while he agonizes and works?
That's the gist of the message. Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I want to pray, and then I want to go through just three easy points, some thoughts about the passage, some reasons why the disciples failed to watch 1 hour with him, and then some answers to our excuses that we give. Let's pray, and we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, I need your help as I preach your word. Lord, help me to preach with power and authority, but help me not to preach, Lord, from the authority of myself, from the authority of the flesh, Lord, as if I had anything to brag about or to stand before your people and claim that I can be the one to tell them how to live their Christian life. Lord, that would be a lie, and it's vain, empty. In fact, it's more than vain, Lord, it's wicked. And it will not help them. But Lord, as I stand on the authority of your word and your Holy Spirit speaks to them and directs them how their Christian life should be lived, that will give them life and health and blessing and joy and peace and success. So Lord, help me with that. I need your help, Lord. You know how quickly I fall into just preaching from the power and direction of self. And I don't want to do that. So please help me with that. Give us then all ears to hear. Holy Spirit, speak to us. And don't just allow us to hear Satan's accusations. Let us receive hope from you on how we can go forward. And I pray that you would, in Jesus' name, amen. So some thoughts about this passage. First of all, I would say this in regards to some thoughts about the passage, is that when Jesus was wanting them to spend this hour with him, he was wanting them to watch. He said that in verse 38, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and," notice these next words, "watch with me." Watch is not just to, you know, open your eyes and look at something. It's that, but it's more than that. It's the idea of to be on watch, like somebody might be in a war situation where you might have a sentry who's tasked with the job of going on the outer perimeter of the friendly forces and keeping an eye out for any penetration by the enemy. That's the idea of watching, keeping an eye out, being careful and circumspect to look for any action by the enemy. And Jesus is requesting the disciples to watch with him. He's in agony, and he wants them to watch with him. And I would say to you and to me this morning that the Lord Jesus is asking us to do the same thing. That part of spending time with God is not just going through a devotional ritual, but literally entering into the battle with Jesus and watching with him. And I need all of us to understand, and that's probably not the right way to put it, we all need to understand that we are in a battle. What we're going through in this world is not just trying to get through the end of this life and then be able to be in heaven. It's more than that. God has us here for a reason. We're part of a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we are in a battle. And so the Lord Jesus wants us to watch with him as we spend time with him. God wants you to enter into the battle. He wants you and me to stop staying in the foxhole, cowering in fear, holding on to our weapon, which can completely destroy the enemy, and those are spiritual weapons. He wants us to stop hiding in the foxhole, clutching the weapon in fear, and he wants us to get out of the foxhole and begin to enter into the battle with him. And that's for you and for me. He asks us to watch. Let me share another thought with you about the passage. And I would say this, the disciples had the opportunity to share in the burden of Christ. That's why he says in verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Think about that. That's what he said to the disciples. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And then he wants them to watch with him. They have the opportunity to enter into fellowship with him in his burden, that companionship. And friends, think about what that companionship would have meant to the Lord Jesus. Now, you and I understand, he had to go to the cross alone. He alone could suffer the wrath of God. But the disciples could have blessed him by at least watching with him. And you know, it makes a difference when you know that you have someone with you in the battle. It makes a difference, doesn't it? One of the things that I appreciate about church so much, especially our church, and I've shared this with you before, I won't go into detail except to just say one of the greatest blessings that God has given me as a pastor is to be able to be in this church, because it is such a blessing to be able to minister with people and to feel like I'm not alone in the battle. There are people who are along with me. We're partnering together. We are brothers in the battle and sisters. And that's a blessing. It would have been a blessing to Jesus. Listen, it would have been a blessing to the disciples to share in that burden a little bit. Another thought about this passage is this, and this is really important. Jesus presented 1 hour of watching with him as if it were the minimum amount of time that they could have spent. Did you catch that? Look at verse 40 again with me. Look at the last part. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible like I do, I do sometimes enjoy that, where the words that the Lord Jesus spoke with his physical mouth were right there in red. I like that. And it says, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Listen, it's presented as if it were the minimum amount of time. When you and I think about spending an hour of time with God, don't we recoil back in horror? As if you mean I need to spend a complete hour with him? But Jesus presented it to the disciples as a minimum. That's interesting, isn't it? I believe that he would also give that to us as well. I don't believe that an hour is a demand of the Lord. The Lord makes no demands on a specific amount of time. But I would say if we really want to know Jesus' heart, I think we could probably take that scripture and say, you know what? That's probably the minimum that the Lord Jesus would want me to spend with him in a day. Again, I'm not trying to make a commandment of men that's, you know, up there on the par with the commandments of God. I'm not trying to do that. And please forgive me for if I come across that way. But I think if we love the Lord Jesus, we can look at that and say, you know, that really is a minimum amount of time I should spend with the Lord. Let me give you another thought about the passage. Notice in verse number 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take, notice these next two words, your rest. So after he had gone, spent time in prayer, came back, found them asleep, challenged them about watching with him, went back, prayed again, etc. He finally comes to them at the end, right before Judas is about to enter into that garden and betray Jesus with a kiss. And Jesus finally just says, all right, sleep on now, take your rest. But here's the interesting thing. Notice what happens right after that. He says, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now look at the next verse, verse 46. Rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Sleep on and take your rest. And by the way, get up and let's go. That's interesting. Why would he say it that way? I think the reason is this. They were able to take their own rest, but they had missed out on the rest that Jesus gives. He said, sleep on and take your rest. It's not Jesus' rest, it's theirs. They were relying on, they were saying in their mind, boy, I'm tired, boy, it's been a long day, and so I need to get my physical rest. Now, don't get me wrong, God wants you to take rest. Obviously, you need to sleep, and probably some of you, especially you young adults, you need to sleep more. But the problem is that a lot of times we use rest as an excuse when, you know, we could go with a little less rest, and the spiritual rest that we would get in that time when we're losing physical rest would overcome our sleepiness. And by the way, have you ever noticed you never get enough rest? And by the way, you parents especially know what I'm talking about. Especially if you have young children, there is no such thing as enough rest. You're always tired. And may I say, even a lot of times we use as an excuse, oh, I'm just too tired to get up and spend time with God in the morning. But you know, when you sleep in that extra hour, instead of getting up and spending time with God, you know you're still tired throughout the day? So what advantage have you gained? Jesus told them, sleep on and take your rest. But they missed out on the true rest. Keep your place in Matthew 26 and turn with me to Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. You remember this passage of scripture here where Jesus is really in the earlier part of his ministry. And I love this statement that he makes here. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus called unto his followers and told them, if you'll follow me, I will give you rest. Now, we know from that passage of scripture, he was not talking about physical rest, because he says, you shall find rest unto your souls. He's talking about a spiritual, and I would say, soul also has to do somewhat with emotions. So also an emotional rest, but specifically a spiritual rest. And the disciples in Matthew 26 were all worried about physical rest when they should have been worried about spiritual rest. Friends, may I ask you, are you more concerned about physical rest than you are spiritual rest? Because if you are, you've got it backwards. Our great concern ought to be spiritual rest. And let me just ask you this question. Do you have spiritual rest? Or is your spirit in turmoil? Are you at ease emotionally and spiritually? Or are you always troubled? Jesus offers spiritual soul rest. We need to stop worrying about physical rest as much. And we need to worry about our spiritual rest more. One last thought about the passage, and we'll move on to the second point. That is this, their failure to watch and pray for at least an hour, according to Jesus, was the source of their failure in temptation. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter was the one who said to Jesus just a few hours before that, Lord Jesus, though all men forsake thee, I will never do it. And Jesus said to him, Peter, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Jesus knew that very soon Peter was about to fall to temptation to where a maid, in other words, a young girl, said, hey, you're one of those that was with Jesus. And Peter was so scared of that little girl that he cursed and swore and denied the Lord Jesus. Big, tough fisherman Peter. Why? Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. His lack of time with God meant that he fell in temptation. It probably is the reason why we fall in temptation as well. Our lack of time with God is one of the factors. I'm not going to say it's the only one, but it is more than likely one of the major factors why we are defeated in our Christian life. Why we fall to temptation, whatever the sin is. Why we're so afraid to share the gospel with others. Why we're so consumed with fear or anger or resentment or unforgiveness. Listen, Our lack of time with God may even be the reason why our marriage is struggling, why our job is struggling, why our kids are floundering. Our lack of time with God affects us in so many ways. Those are some thoughts about the passage. Let me give you the second point of the message, which is some reasons why the disciples failed to watch 1 hour with him. I'll give you four reasons that I found you could meditate on the passage and probably find a lot more. Number one, they were tired. That was obvious, right? Their eyes were heavy, the Bible says. They fell asleep. They were tired. And that's one of the reasons why they failed to watch with him 1 hour. And friends, it's the same for you and me. The body gets tired. And the funny thing about the body, especially as an adult, is it seems like the more you rest it, the more it wants rest. And obviously, there's a line, right? We need to have a good, 8 hours of sleep or whatever it is. But I would encourage you, a lot of us would say, oh, Pastor, I can't get 8 hours. And it may be true. I'm not gonna say that you definitely can't, but I will say this. I've been a student of people enough to know that most of the time, the reason people don't get 8 hours of sleep is because they're up too late. And they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. And I don't mean evil things, although sometimes it is evil things. I just mean foolish, frivolous things, usually involving technology. And it would be good for all of us to recognize, if I'm tired, too tired to get up and spend time with God, it may be that I need to change my habits. I need to maybe turn the television off and make a cutoff at 7 or 8 at night. And the same with, the internet. 7 or 8 at night, it's off, it's done. And I'm going to sit, I'm going to lower the lights a little bit, I'm going to read, I'm not going to drink coffee so late. Man, that's a sacrifice. Whew, that's a sacrifice. But I'm going to get myself ready so I can go to bed at a decent hour and then get up at a decent hour and spend time with the Lord. Maybe we need to change, some of the things that we eat, because that will affect your sleep. There's a lot of different things, and we go on and on. But I need to make getting up and spending time with God a priority, because sleep can be an issue. It was for the disciples, but friends, the truth of the matter is, we can get beyond those things. We can be up if we want. Let me give you another reason why they failed to watch 1 hour with him, and this is big. Listen, friends, they were confident in the flesh. Jesus said that specifically to Peter. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter was all gung-ho. Jesus, I'll never fail you. And he looked into his spirit and said, I want to be faithful to Jesus. And he said, that's enough. As long as the spirit is willing, the flesh will follow. That's a lie. Friends, the flesh will not follow. The flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. The two are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. That's what Galatians tells us. And they were confident that, oh, it's okay, the flesh is all right. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to put that flesh aside. I can just go on for the Lord. And friends, it will not work. You cannot walk in the flesh and be successful in the Christian life. Don't be confident in the flesh. Third reason why they failed to watch 1 hour with him is they did not sense the urgency of the hour. They did not realize, think about this, they did not realize the sore trial that they were that close to entering into. It was right around the corner. Now, they had every reason to know it was right around the corner, but they were dense, just like you and me. And they didn't realize that very soon the great temptation to fail Jesus was going to be right there. Friends, you and I never realize how close we are at any time to a very sore trial. Tragedy strikes quickly oftentimes. Are you ready? Temptation comes quickly. Are you ready? And I would say, if you haven't spent time with God, serious time with God, you're not ready. And you may come to a crisis situation and be like Peter. He got his physical rest. The body, the flesh was rested. But he was not spiritually rested, therefore he wasn't ready. Fourth reason why they failed to watch 1 hour with him, it would have been work for them to watch with him, and they didn't want to work. You know, when Jesus was there in the garden, we read in other places that Jesus was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. It was work for him to go through that agony. Friends, I would love to tell you that spending time with the Lord is all just, you know, entertainment and glorious time. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of times, it's work. Now, there's beautiful fellowship with the Lord. And more often than not, as you spend time with God, as you start off, it's work. But before long, you get to realize, you know what, I'm having a great time. This is a blessing to be with the Lord. I'm enjoying this. My spirit is refreshed. My soul is revived. I'm enjoying this time. But in the beginning, and sometimes through the whole thing, it's just plain work. You know, we're allergic to that four-letter word oftentimes, aren't we? Especially in our modern culture. But that's one of the reasons why the disciples failed, I believe, is it was work. And they didn't want to work. And a lot of times you and I are just like, I don't want to work. Let me give you some answers to our excuses. So we saw some thoughts about the passage, some reasons why they failed, and now some answers to our excuses. Let me give you three of them. The first answer is that we need to be led by Christ and not our feelings. We need to be led by Christ and not our feelings. Remember that Jesus said the Spirit indeed is willing. You see, a lack of willingness is not the problem. A lack of willingness to do right is not the problem. We want to do right. If you are a saved individual, then the Spirit of God lives within you and there is a desire to do right. But that's not the issue. And sometimes, again, just like I alluded to before, we're following our feelings. We're just like Walt Disney. Some of us ought to walk around with Mickey Mouse ears on because we follow our heart. And I want to serve the Lord, therefore it's going to work, right? Wrong. Because a lack of willingness is not the problem. The problem is the flesh is weak. We're carrying around this dead weight of this flesh that we have to live in if we're going to serve the Lord. And we have to learn by the Spirit of God to overcome the flesh. And by the way, you can. But you've got to walk with God. Because you can't do it in the power of yourself. It's only in the power of the Spirit that you can. Turn with me to Romans 7. Keep your place in Matthew 26 and turn to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. And we went through this chapter not too long ago, and I want you to look with me at verse 14, Romans 7, verse 14. Romans 7, we'll start with verse 14. The Bible tells us, therefore, we know that the law is spiritual. In other words, what to do is spiritual. But I am carnal, fleshly. I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Notice this part. For to will is present with me. The Spirit indeed is willing. But how to perform that which is good I find not. But the flesh is weak. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. See, the Bible tells us very clearly that the issue with us is not that we don't want to do right. If you're saved, you want to do right. The issue is, we're carrying around this flesh. So we need to follow Jesus, not our heart. We need to follow Jesus, not our feelings. It's not enough to just say, I think I'm okay, because after all, I want to do right. We've got to recognize that daily, every single day, I've got to spend time with God. Not only one time a day, but throughout the day, I must spend time with God. Why? Not because I'm not willing to, but because I've got to put this flesh down. I've got to walk in the Spirit, because the only way to not live a life of complete and total sin, even as a Christian, the only way is to walk in the Spirit. And some of us walk around with a warped mentality that says, I was saved, therefore, as long as I want to do right, I will do right, because after all, I'm saved. That's a lie. The truth of the matter is, I'm saved. The Spirit of God dwells within. If I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. But if I don't walk in the Spirit, I will live a life of complete failure. I'll bring dishonor to God's name, and I may even destroy Christ's reputation if I don't walk in the Spirit. It's that big of a deal. We need to follow Christ, not our feelings. You see, the disciples felt like they were fine. They should have listened to the voice of Christ. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So the answer is to be led by Christ and not our feelings. Number two, here's another answer to our excuses. The answer is to watch and pray. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 26. Watch and pray. Watching requires faith to believe the warnings of God's word. Remember I said watching is like being a sentry in the military? You're watching for the enemy's penetration into your territory? That's watching. And one of the keys is watch. Your prayer time with God, your time with God every day should not just be, all right, read some scripture, don't really think about it, say some prayers that don't really mean anything to me in my heart, and I, you know, will really never know if they were answered or not, so I'm just going to kind of mouth them and just go on about my day. That's not watching and praying. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 5. It takes faith to believe the warnings of God. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. That means serious-minded. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, verse 8 says, be sober and be vigilant. Why? Because we have an adversary, the devil, who like a roaring lion is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I've never seen the devil, have you? Don't tell me if you have, because I don't want to hear about it. More than likely, we've never seen the devil. In fact, truth of the matter is, probably not very many of us have ever dealt with Satan himself. But there are many devils that are under the authority of Satan that we deal with all the time. And our adversary, the devil, is walking around seeking whom he may devour. Now, I have to take that by faith because I don't see him. But I have experienced that because I've, from time to time, been devoured spiritually. I've fallen prey when I wasn't vigilant, and so have you. I've got to take it by faith. Now, here's the interesting thing. Do you notice in verse number 9 then what it says? Whom, and then what's that next word? Resist. If you remember, I believe it's the book of James that tells us that if we will submit ourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, what's the promise? He will flee. That term resist is a military term. The term submit is a military term. Submit means to report for duty. That's my explanation of it. Like a private coming to his superior officer and, you know, clicking his heels in attention and putting his hand up in a salute and saying, yes, sir, I'm here for duty. What would you like me to do, sir? That's to submit yourself, therefore, to God. Okay, God, I'm on your side. What do you want me to do? Resist is the opposite of that. When you stand with God and you report to duty with God, you are automatically the enemy of Satan. Resist is the idea of to stand in opposition to. So you and I, in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 9, are told, because our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, my job is to stand in opposition to him. Now, if there were a lion in here, number one, I would be the first one out. Let's use a rabid dog, all right? If there were a rabid dog in here, I would not turn my back to it. Not too long ago, a couple of us were at one of the Madison parks here, and we were sledding. And we had our little kids with us. My little daughter, Rachel, who's, 5 years old, was with me. And there were a couple other little kids that were with us. And somebody was not following the rules in the park, and they had their dog off leash. And their dog that was off leash was a pit bull. Now, I'll just say this. I didn't turn my back on that dog, not for my sake, but for the little kid's sake. I watched very carefully. And the dog, just being friendly, it wasn't a bad dog or anything like that. But it was, just kind of acting like it was going to go near the kids. And I know sometimes kids get scared and they run, and that triggers something in some dogs more than others to take off. I was very concerned. And I honestly going to tell you, I was going to rip that dog apart if it even made a move toward my daughter. It would rue the day that it chose to pick on my girl. I might lose an arm, I might have my cheek bitten off, but that dog's going to die. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. I need to have that same attitude towards Satan. Not cocky like, boy, I'm going to beat Satan up. But I'm in the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ has defeated Satan. I'm on Jesus' team. Therefore, by the way, I win. Because Jesus wins. I'm submitting to the Lord Jesus, not doing my own thing, submitting to Him. He's the authority. If He tells me to do something, I do it. If He tells me to stay, I stay. I'm submitted to Him, and I don't turn my back on the devil. Automatically, I'm resisting him. I'm standing in opposition to him. And God has me, by the way, in this life to resist Satan. God has you in this life to resist Satan. Your job is not just to be a Christian who sits at home and praises God, although that's a good thing to do, and you should do it. But part of my job here in this world is also to be in opposition to Satan. Now, Satan recognizes that. We don't always. So I need to resist him. And the only way that I can do that, friends, is by faith, because I don't feel that in my feelings. My feelings are, oh, no, it's just a normal day, and I live in America, and things are safe, and everything's going okay. And by the way, that's one of the things that what we've been going through politically and socially in our country and even medically has helped some Christians to wake up and recognize, hey, we're in a battle. We better get serious about this. But we still have the temptation of just kind of sitting back and taking it easy. And by faith, we have to watch and pray. Now, let me give you a third answer to our excuse. The first was be led by Christ, not our feelings. The second was to watch by faith. The third is love Christ. If I'm going to spend time with God, I need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'll spend time with Him if I love Him. One of the burdens to me about, and we can turn back to Matthew chapter number 26. Just let's look at just verse 38 again. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then notice, if you would, at verse number 40. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. Isn't that sad? Look at verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again. Why? Because their eyes were heavy. Jesus says to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And they're like, when's nap time? Hold on now. Some of us do the same thing. Lord Jesus looks out on this world that's on its way to hell in a handbasket. There's a need for all kinds of spiritual, growth and spiritual advance in these days. And He looks out on us as Christians and perhaps even individuals in Madison Baptist Church, and we say, is it nap time yet? Lord, I sure like sleeping in. The answer to that is loving Jesus. If my children are sick in the middle of the night, I get up with them, or my wife gets up with them. One of us does, right? If my wife is in need, you know what I do? I get up with her. I remember when she had our children and she had C-sections, And they're in the hospital. Of course, I'd stay with her in the hospital. And you can tell that was pre-COVID, by the way. I'd stay with her in the hospital. And you know what I'd do? I'd kind of fall asleep a little bit in the chair. But I'd always tell her, sweetheart, you need anything in the middle of the night, wake me up. I'll help you. Why? Because I love her. Why would I, you know, be so concerned about my sleep that I'd say, no, sweetheart, don't bother me. I got to get some rest. Wouldn't that be a wicked thing to say? But we do it to the Lord Jesus all the time. Why? Because we don't really love him. And we should. And you say, well, Pastor, I want to love Jesus. How do I love Jesus? Same way I fell in love with my wife. Listen, when I first met her, I remember thinking to myself, she is beautiful. And I thought, I'd sure like to date that girl. And I did, by the way, and I won. Beat every other guy out. Glad about that, too, by the way. But you know what? That wasn't really love, was it? I was attracted to her. I enjoyed, you know, how pretty she was. I enjoyed her laughter, all those things. But that wasn't love. In fact, I would even say to you, we dated for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, and then we got married. And I would even say to you that the day we got married, I loved her a little. But we've been married just under 21 years now. I love her a lot more now. Some of you have been married much longer than I have. And you could probably say, boy, I love my spouse now way more than I did when we were celebrating our 21st anniversary. What made the difference? Is it that your spouse got better over time? Maybe. But you know what it is most of the time? It's time spent. You got to spend time with somebody. And the difference between my wife and my relationship now versus the day we got married, oh, we were enamored with one another. Then we'd stare in each other's eyes romantically and couldn't wait to be together and all this kind of stuff, right? But I love her so much more now. Why? Because I've spent time with her. And I've gotten to know her and she's gotten to know me and we've shared pain, we've shared laughter, we've shared joy, we've shared sorrow, and that knits us together. It's the same way with Jesus. Some of the reason we don't love Jesus is we never spend time with him. And that's why we don't really want to spend time with him, because we spend time with the world, our favorite musicians or our favorite actors or our favorite sports figures or our, you know, other things of this world that we're so in love with. We spend time with our job. We spend time with all these other things. And so we love them and we don't love the Lord Jesus. Friends, it gets down to this matter that we need to spend time with him. We'll get two passages of scripture and we'll be done. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. So Psalms, Proverbs, and then there's Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. Right before Isaiah, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5 and verse 16. Here's a verse that is, yes, it's a verse that Solomon's wife wrote to him in a love song, but God included it in Scripture because it is a picture of Jesus Christ. Song of Solomon 5 and verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Madison Baptist Church, I will present to you, I am not the greatest example of this by any means, and God knows that more than you will ever know, that I am not the example of somebody who spends a great amount of time with God. I don't want you to follow me in this, but I will say this. Verse 16 of chapter 5 in Song of Solomon is 100% totally true about the Lord Jesus. He is altogether lovely. Listen, if you will spend time with him, you'll fall in love with him too. He is wonderful. He is a joy to know. It's a blessing to get up early in the morning and spend time with the Lord, truly walking with him. It is so worth it to spend time with him. One more passage of scripture, Psalm 16, verse 11. I share this one with you fairly often, I feel like anyway, Psalm 16 and verse 11. But it stands out to me so much. Psalm 16 and verse 11. And I'll start reading as you're turning, Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's talking about God. And it's true, friends. In his presence is fullness of joy. So spend time with him. Could ye not watch with me 1 hour, the Lord Jesus would say to us? And the answer is, we could. I want to submit to you this morning, the answer is, you should. I hope that the message this morning was used of the Lord to show you the tragedy of not spending time with the Lord, a significant amount of time with God every day, the tragedy of that. I hope God used the message this morning to show you the loss that you have had because you have not spent time with God, a significant amount every day. I hope that God has used the message to show you the disgrace that it is when we don't spend time with God a significant amount every day. But I also want to share with you that there's hope. You can begin today. You can start now. Has your life, your Christian life, your Christian walk been a complete failure up till now? Hey, join the club. It's okay. God always gives hope. If you're feeling despair, don't despair. That's Satan. Recognize that God is calling you to watch and pray. You can begin today to spend a significant amount of time with the Lord. And you will be glad that you did. Let's pray, and then we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sharing with us that agonizing, I'm sure it was several hours that you spent there in the garden there. Maybe it was just one complete hour, but whatever it was, that agonizing time that you had in the garden. Lord Jesus, thank you for going through that for me. Thank you for going through that for us. Thank you for bearing our sin. I'm sure that that must have been a terrible, terrible weight that you had to carry, that the wicked things that I've done, the terrible thoughts that have gone through my mind, the horrible actions of mankind from the beginning of creation until the end of it all, that all of those sins, you were going to become and you were going to bear those sins. It must have been just a horrible, horrible thought and a horrible reality for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bearing our sins in your body on the tree. But Lord Jesus, I also thank you that you shared with us that the disciples failed just like we do. And thank you for sharing with us their failure that we might learn from it. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray, would you help us? We recognize we need to spend time with you. It's a tragedy. It's a loss. It's a disgrace when we don't spend time with you a significant amount daily. Would you grant us the hope to believe that by your help, we can go forward and spend time significantly with you daily starting today? Would you help us with that, dear Lord? Would you move and work in this invitation? Would you grant us the ability to make decisions that will last by the power of your Holy Spirit? Please work in this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.